in the van.
Holy crap. We haven't done this in a while.
Usually we get a little bit of notice before we get in the van.
We're in the van.
All right, let me mute the radio. Hang on.
Suddenly the van's here and we're going.
I'm still booting up my car. So
we just saw
the matchstick skeletons.
Thank you.
Like something skeletons.
Yeah, I knew there was a stick
skeleton.
Death Rocks. And The Glorious Sons.
Yay, The Glorious Sons. You've already heard us talk about them ad nauseum, I'm sure.
I don't think they actually have. I don't think there's been a podcast about The Glorious Sons.
Yeah. Seriously?
We see The Glorious Sons every single time they come to town, without fail.
By we, she means her, because some of us have to work and stuff, so, you know, we don't get to go all the time.
My first Glorious Sons show was in this tiny little fucking venue in the rain. They were opening for somebody else, and I swear to God, there were 12 people in the venue.
And
sorry.
And it was fucking amazing. I was like right up on the stage and it was just glorious.
Sons.
Yes. So so I make it a point to go see them whenever I can.
Pardon my directions in proper British English.
What is going?
And the radio's back on. Hi. You can tell we've the well-oiled, polished machine we've got going on here. Okay.
Okay. So, what was the skeleton band?
Matchstick skeletons.
Matchstick skeletons. Okay. So I actually kind of enjoyed them. They were very hipster.
You are probably the only person in the venue.
No, a lot of people seem to be enjoying them.
I had no strong feelings about them either way. They were just kind of there.
I thought they were fun. They were a little weird.
I did not like them.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't actively bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I will definitely say that for them. They were not actively bad, but I did not enjoy them.
So, the band was originally founded by the lead singer, such as he is, and the drummer, who was not the drummer on tonight's show. The drummer on tonight's show was a stand-in. The usual drummer, the founder of the band, recently had a baby boy, or his wife did, or his female partner, I don't know. But he's got a birth defect or a heart defect or something, so he's home dealing with baby, which makes sense. So the woman that they had sitting in with them, I enjoyed thoroughly. She was amazing. She was totally into the show.
You were also the only one of the three of us that could see her.
Okay. Yes.
I had to lean forward, and I'm like, oh, they've got a female drummer. And I could see the stick every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she was having a grand old time, and I enjoyed her much more than the guys. But
she was a good drummer.
Yes.
Yes.
But
so I don't know how I would feel with the band if they had their usual drummer, Maddie, somebody. I would love to find out who she is, though. She's lovely. All right, so then we had Death Rocks.
Well, I'm not done with the Matchstick Skeletons.
Go ahead. Matchstick Skeletons.
Their keyboard and
guitarist.
Yeah, there were two guitarists, right?
Yeah, there were two guitarists.
Well, I think he was playing bass.
Was he? No, I thought the bassist was the other guy.
No, he was very definitely playing guitar.
That was a guitar.
But he was also a keyboardist. Anyway,
yeah.
He was a very young, very skinny Henry Rollins, and was clearly more comfortable in a punk setting. He for me, was the highlight of that band. He had personality and presence, and was a spastic friggin' weirdo.
He was always trying to do something on stage.
Yeah, there was one point where he was holding the guitar strap, like he'd taken the guitar strap off from around his neck and body and was holding the guitar in his teeth and playing and keyboarding and
like
doing things.
Laying down on the floor and then getting up and...
Yeah.
And he also generally seemed fairly joyful to me, like he really enjoyed himself on stage.
Yes, he was having a great time.
Yeah.
I really want to see his next band. I would have been very happy with him as the lead singer.
I was very amused at the one time where he, like, drifted to the back somewhere, and, like pulled the guitar off to the side, spun around, grabbed a guitar pick, threw it, and it pretty much just flinged off of something, bounced off of the lead singer's head, and like just went onto the floor on the stage. I mean, he was trying to throw it out to the crowd, but had an utter failure, and it just kind of went clink, plunk,
yeah,
down there. But he was just like, he was in his own zone.
Yes, he was very much in his own zone. He was not in the same zone as the rest of the band. And maybe that's because they were shy a person, who knows. But that was my opinion of them. I would go see his next band.
I would totally see that drummer again.
I would see her a first time.
All right, so, Des Rocks?
Des Rocks, yes. So there were three people on stage, but the front man, the lead singer, kept saying, "I am Des Rocks." Not we, I. Their first song, his first song, whatever it was.
The first song that was played.
Yes. Was rough. Was not, I don't know, I don't remember clearly what was wrong with it, but it wasn't working. And then from the second song on, it was much better. He's little and possibly Latinx of some sort.
He came off as Italian to me.
He's got Italian.
Could have been Italian.
Long Island Italian.
Could have been Puerto Rican, though.
He
had a very strong Ritchie Valley sort of feel to me.
Yeah, but he presents as a Long Island Italian. He totally does.
He very much reminded me of Dave's cousin, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony Allegra.
Yeah.
Sicilian background, everything. Just not only from his look, but his spastic dancing and everything was like, it's Tony.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fair. I come from a long line of Brooklyn Jews.
Sure.
He was totally Long Island, completely Long Island.
Sure.
And he was lovely. I really, really liked him. He was, yeah, Twisty Cat does not agree with me. He was really steeped in that 50s Nashville burgeoning rock and roll sound. That sort of almost rockabilly, very Roy Orbison. There was another rock and roller, I think it may have been Lee. God damn it. Great Balls of Fire, that guy.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis, thank you. Not Lee Harvey Oswald or Getty Lee, but Jerry Lee Lewis. And like young early Elvis and the people that Elvis was emulating. Because we all know, and
right.
If we don't all know, we should be educated that Elvis was not doing anything original.
Nope.
Thank you, next. But so he really had that sort of, damn it, there was a phrase I had, and it has left me. Boogie woogie, that's it. Really had that boogie woogie feel. His voice was amazing. He really had that sort of Jerry Lee Lewis instant vibrato thing that is very boogie-woogie, very rockabilly. The new Volbeat song has a little bit of it, which is...
See, I'm not a fan of the instant vibrato, first of all. Second of all, there was so much backtrack going on, like backing track stuff, that I couldn't necessarily tell like what was him singing live and what was the backup track.
So everything that he sang, he sang. All of that was him.
I think it was also supported, though. I don't
but
think
there,
the...
there was background singers who obviously
sure.
were not on stage.
Yeah.
So that was backing track. But
well, and I saw the guitarist, bassist?
Bassist.
I saw the bassist attempt to sing along several times, and his mic just wasn't even on. Like, there was no sound that happened when he would do it.
Yeah, the hair monster was scary.
Oh, he just looked like Frank Zappa. He was fine.
Also, I think that they had a little bit of issue just tuning them in. Like, their first song, which was kind of all over the place anyways, their first song came on and was like, oh, I thought I had heard these guys before. I guess not. This sounds nothing like I recall. But I mean, I couldn't hear any of the vocals out of that. It was kind of all over the place and fast, and it just came off as weird. Mm. And as even Passion said, like, yeah, they started off rocky, and I was like, oh, great, okay, whatever. And then the second song came, I'm like, oh wait, no, we got some, like, old tube-amp blues guitar rock and roll going on here. And they hit that a couple times, and then they play something else that was like, and you're losing me a little bit. And then they dump it back up with something else.
They had excellent moments, I will give you that. There were sections of songs that really grabbed me. His personality did not grab me at all. It's not that he didn't have one, he very much had one, it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh yeah, I can totally understand that his personality is not for everyone. He's I think that he's very used to being a solo act. Well, and as such, he's used to overcompensating, he's used to over-energizing, and he's used to filling a much bigger space alone.
Well, and I don't know that it's, like, specifically there, like, the band, quote, Des Rocks, I was just actually looking it up. That is his name.
Right.
I'm sure it's just his stage name. But when it's, you know, I'm Des Rocks,
right,
that
but,
is
Right, and what Patch is saying is that the band may not be, like, his band all the time kind of a
well,
thing.
No,
although, I guess
is,
the story of
the
drummer.
The drummer who's been with
sure.
him forever.
Since he was 18, yeah.
Right.
You know,
which
3 weeks
been
ago.
Last week,
that,
right?
That could, in fact, be on through some kind, yes.
Now, he reminded me of all the boys that I grew up with in Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I didn't like any of them.
Well,
he had that very specific, like, New York ego thing going on.
Yeah.
But not, like, it wasn't unwarranted. It wasn't the empty ego. It wasn't, you know, Buffon Ghoul. It was, you know, this is my thing. I'm doing my thing, and I'm going to do it. And I'm gonna fucking rock your face off, and hold on tight, cause here it comes. And I can totally understand where, if you have a bad experience with that Jersey Italian sort of thing, that his method of presenting is totally gonna turn you off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that turned you off so bad that you didn't enjoy his music.
Well, no,
it was
there were parts of the music that I thought were really good, but there was nowhere was there an entire song that I felt really fell together entirely.
See, I went the other way. I quite liked all of it, except there were occasionally bits that I was like, this one's not doing it for me.
And I'm right there with you.
I did have the thought that if I was hearing this without witnessing him being him, I probably would have enjoyed it just fine. But I still do feel like there weren't enough places where the song held together all the way.
And the mix probably would be a bit more balanced in a studio recording if you're just
sure.
listening to it, because I think there was some stuff that was just off.
Yeah, there was a lot of vocal stuff that he was doing that I was just barely catching, but that we overall weren't getting.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because his vocals really were amazing.
I would be interested to see him again in 5 years.
Yes.
Yep.
He needs seasoning.
Okay. I won't disagree with that at all.
Yeah. And props to him for actually thanking his sound man and his lighting guy by name from stage.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Props there. Nobody actually ever remembers the lighting guy.
Says the lighting guy.
Even the people that I work with all the time, there's a couple of them, like, he'll go through and he'll introduce the whole band and everybody there, and he'll stop, and by the time he turns around, I'm sitting in the back going, what? And I do this to him, and he goes, ah, shit. And he'll stop and turn around, and he'll introduce me and, you know, give me the props to the crowd. But, I mean, he's doing it a little bit more now, but it doesn't even register that I'm there. I'm not part of the band, I'm the lighting guy. And I'm sure this is just a lighting guy from the venue that he actually took the time to, like, know the name of.
Yeah,
and, like,
he learned
stumbled. The name of the sound guy.
He
and,
stumbled on the name of the sound guy,
oh, yeah.
But he remembered it.
Yep. Which obviously means that he went up and actually introduced himself to the crew.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's excellent. I very much noticed that and appreciated that.
That's the mark of a professional and somebody who knows that, you know, the person on stage is not everything of the show.
Right.
And without that support, he ain't got shit.
Like I said, I'd like to see him again in 5 years. I think that a lot of my qualms about tonight's show will have been ironed out by then. Including
like
him,
so.
Him growing into his stage persona a little bit more.
I would actually be really curious to know how old he actually is.
Sorry.
I'm sure I can look it up.
That
technology.
Well, get on that shit.
So, it was interesting. And then there was the glorious sun.
And they were glorious. And they were sunny.
They were doing a lot more new material than I was used to. I'm not as familiar with the new album, so I love everything I heard.
Yeah, it was all very good. I have to say that I'm shocked I don't know his name. What is the name of the lead singer?
Rick.
He's looking up something else.
No, I can't remember his name. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I think he's tired.
Well, they've been on the road for what, like 90 days
or
80
days? So his performance tonight was a little off for me, having seen him several times now.
Right.
His performance is growing. He is definitely growing as a performer, but I think he was fucking tired.
Well, I think he was tired, and I don't think that the crowd was feeding him as much as he's used to. Los Angeles is a notoriously horrible crowd, and he has experienced. I've watched him struggle with the crowd every single time they've been in town, where he doesn't seem to be getting fed by the crowd the way he gets fed by the crowd in other places. And there's absolutely a relationship between performer and audience, which is one of the reasons why some bands don't want to play L.A. at all. Like, Lizzie Hale won't come to L.A. You know, the closest Godsmack will come was fucking Irvine. It's challenging for someone who has so much energy on the stage and who is used to having these, you know, wildly exuberant crowds to deal with an L.A. crowd, especially midweek, especially in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so that, on top of the tired of having been on the road for 80 days, I think it totally took its toll. They only did one encore song, and it took a lot to get them to come back out.
He was doing a different stage show than he has in the past.
Yeah, he wasn't running around as much
He was not running around, and he was not doing that...
Joe Cocker?
Well, the Joe Cocker, essentially, past shows, it seemed to me like he's not, but he is acting like he's just, like, whacked out on heroin or something and downers and just kind of stumbling all over the stage and bleary-eyed, and that's been his stage persona. And that's what he was doing a show as. And the difference here is he actually seemed a lot more just lucid and there, which he doesn't present as on stage usually.
Well, I mean, I think he may also be growing out of that. The first couple shows we saw, he was whacked out of his gourd. But in the last couple of years, my understanding is, you know, what he's talked about online is that he has been, you know, getting clean. So, you know, I think probably the last show or two we saw, he was still kind of playing with that persona because that's how he knows how to be on stage, but he may be moving away from that because he's learning how to be to human and to stage without having to have drugs and alcohol in his system.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so, and the other thing that I noticed about this show is that their newer material is... while still very good, is much more slick than their older material and is missing a certain visceral je ne sais quoi. Just this...
Wait. Did you just say visceral je ne sais quoi?
Yes.
I'm not so sure those two go together.
Je ne sais quoi just means I don't know what. So, yes, they certainly can.
But, I mean, it's funny to me because you've just explained my entire problem with Theory of a Dead Man.
Yeah.
Like, old Theory of a Dead Man is gritty, and their newer stuff is just way too polished for me, and we've had this argument before.
He doesn't want to play guitar anymore.
Yeah.
You know, all his new stuff, he's not playing guitar.
Yeah.
It's too shiny.
So anyways, back to Glorious Songs. Off topic.
I was about to pick that topic up and run with it, too.
Some if you gotta.
It's a podcast, we can, I mean, you know.
I mean, if nothing else, they're still, everybody's referring to them as Theory of a Dead Man, but their last two albums have been released as just The Theory. They're just Theory now. Octane keeps, you know, they're like, yeah, we're still going to call them Theory of a Dead Man, because that's
who they are.
That's what we do. Right. So.
Yeah, so seeing Theory of a Dead Man, we could specifically tell which songs were new and which songs were old, because of whether or not he was playing guitar.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. All right, off of that.
So coming back to the Glorious.
Yes.
So yeah, they are more polished.
And polished, I mean, there's nothing wrong with polished. My problem is not that they're polished. My problem is that it's missing a feeling.
See, I don't have you. How much of the new album have you listened to, like, as an album, not them doing it live? Okay. So, the stuff that I've heard from the new album, not him doing it live tonight, but, you know, recorded, does still have that oomph, that bottom end, that
grit,
that energy. It's what was presented tonight. There wasn't as much energy in the new stuff as shows up in studio, which is usually the reverse for them.
Yes.
So I suspect that some of that was just tired.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. Cause yeah, even their older stuff recorded feels flat to me, having seen him, as Rick said, Joe Cocker on stage.
Right.
You know.
Careening off of everything.
Mama and you know, these amazingly raw songs that you know, you're like, his heart is bleeding in little bitty pieces on the stage in front of you.
Yeah, and I think he was just too tired to pull that out. Well, he may have left that on the last few stages.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate, because that's one of the things that really set them apart as an amazing fucking band.
Sure, and I suspect, you know, we just need to see them earlier in their next tour.
Sure. Well, they should start in L.A. then.
I agree. They seem to like to start in Canada, because Canada's got the best crowd for them.
Well, they're Canadian.
They're Canadian. Well, that's, so, you know.
So, but I still had a very good time tonight. I'm still very glad we went. I'd never been to the El Rey before that I remember.
Yeah, that was a new venue for me, definitely. Which seems weird, because everything is at the El Rey, and yet we've never seen anything at the El Rey before.
Yeah, really strange.
The sound was good.
Yeah.
You know, the first band sounded like shit, but I don't think that was the venue's problem, because the next two bands, I didn't even need earplugs for. So the sound was good, it was clean, it was not overdone at all. I'm very happy with the venue. We had a table.
Yeah.
Which was lovely.
Table and chairs. Up a little bit so we could actually see.
You had a table, I had a trash can to lean on. I had a chair.
Yeah.
Trash can and I were good friends.
Yeah. Although I swear we were sitting in a wind tunnel or something.
It was so cold. Oh my god.
I had a massive draft.
I was wearing my fingerless gloves. It was so cold. Usually I feel like I'm sweating in venues. Yeah, no, my hoodie was zipped up. I'm wearing fingerless gloves. My toes were cold.
Yes, I was very sad to be wearing flip-flops.
Oh yeah.
Do you still have toes?
I do. They're wiggling. Yeah. They're on the, you know, accelerator, so everything is fine.
Excellent.
But yeah, would see stuff there again.
Yeah,
might
absolutely.
Bring a parka, but you know, we'd see stuff there again. So one of the last things I want to say is, I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but it seems like the Glorious Sons, at least right now, have a very large contingent of tall, skinny female fans.
Yes.
That was weird.
Blonde white girls.
Very weird, but like tall, like 5'11".
Tall. Yes, very tall.
I was like, there's a lot of really tall women here. I'm confused.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Patch has a type.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah, it was noticeable to me.
Me too.
And how?
Right. Okay. So we have another show coming up sometime soon. I'm sure we do. Do we know what it is? Do we remember?
I don't remember, and I'm driving, so I won't look
right.
it up.
I don't know if there's other stuff. I know we have
there's
this
in this moment,
and
which is
Shine Down coming up.
But that's
like
April and May.
Yeah, I think In This Moment might be our next show.
Huh. Interesting.
But isn't it like March? Isn't it next month?
March. I think it is March.
Yeah.
End of March.
Yeah.
So at least we have that.
And then,
there may be a surprise show between now and then. Who
yeah.
knows?
Yeah.
Well, of course, you're going to a show for Volbeat while we're gone.
Yes, I will be attending U-Fest in Tempe, Arizona with Volbeat and... Is it Volbeat and Godsmack?
I don't know. It's Volbeat. I know that. Godsmack's at the other Tucson
show. Oh, Godsmack
show.
Is at the other one. Okay. So I will be, I guess I'll record
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you'll need to.
And send it in. I'm going.
I mean, you've got like a month.
I'm going with Morgan to that. Shauna and Morgan.
Oh, my gosh. That's hysterical.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. We will do Get in the Van, Arizona edition. And then 2 weeks after that, we're trying to go to KMFA Day, KFMA.
Yes. Tucson.
Which is the Tucson
Rock
Festival.
It's got Godsmack and Bad Wolves and Rival Sons and...
That's what I see.
There's a fourth band. Who's the fourth band?
I don't remember right now. But the people who are playing with Volbeat, Phil Anselmo, and Clutch.
Oh, okay.
I'm really excited about... Well, I'm really excited about Clutch. Fuck Phil. but he's playing a Pantera set, so I'll enjoy the music at least.
There you go. All right, so anyway, there is stuff coming up. We don't know exactly. It'll happen. You'll pay attention. Subscribe. You'll find out when it's up. Anyway, thanks very much for listening to us ramble. And we will catch you next time. Get in the van!
Get in the van!
We're doing podcast stuff!